Okay, please announce page and section.
Out there.
Okay.
That's okay.
Jennifer.
We're on passage 65, Eternal Religion, page 12. No matter where we searched to discover how the universe works, every previous concept of life seemed futile. For if youth deteriorating to illness, old age, and death is real, then life is not real and is meaningless at best. And if life and happiness are real, then youth deteriorating to illness, old age, and death cannot be real.
Can I ask?
Oh, I bet.
Pause. Just need to digest that for a minute. So, if youth deteriorating to illness, old age, and death is real, why is life not real?
Because, temporary and then gone, that's it.
It's meaningless.
It's meaningless, it's temporary, you will forget about it, it's unmemorable. It's a weird anomaly.
Does that mean it's not real?
I think he's saying,
it's meaningless.
For all intents and purposes, it's passing dream. Yeah, and you could say it's real, but as he's saying, meaningless, what difference does it make?
Okay, meaningless, I get. Yeah.
Thing is, I never went to the next part, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, life and happiness are real.
Then youth deteriorating to illness, old age, and death cannot be real.
So what does that mean?
That means the things that you like and desire indicate for you what is real. That's my words, not his.
But if you go a little further, these matters apply to your body, but not to you. And that's the distinction.
Is it possible, we ask, that these matters of life and death, deterioration, are matters of your body, not of you?
Sure.
However, it's not on that page.
And though you say yes to this question, you won't let go of your body. And in this, your body is your life and security, but it is also your prison and death.
I've noticed that that's true.
Humbly said.
Life is an unknown, unknowable...
Life as?
As.
Oh, life as an unknown, unknowable, spiritual being after death doesn't help you today, does it? If you are to be an eternal being after death, you want to know about that today, don't you? For awarefully continuing in life seems to be your greatest desire. Even to the point that, like most individuals...
Pause!
David? Young David?
Who's young David?
She asked it.
Okay. Continue!
Like most individuals, you have surrendered knowing and experiencing yourself as an eternal being to belief and faith and even to hope and feelings. This led us to realize there had to be a greater image of life than anything offered by religion.
I like that. Don't really think about that. So, that line in here, that for awarefully continuing in life seems to be your greatest desire, I mark that because I've noticed that most people, when you ask them in many instances that show this, when you ask people what they actually like or desire, they can't tell you.
Right.
You ask us what we want. I don't know. Maybe we're learning to understand this.
They could tell you. It depends on how you ask them.
Say again?
They could tell you. It depends on how you ask them.
Oh, okay. Good notion. Okay.
What was your question?
It was a statement.
Oh.
You still want to know?
I want to know what you replied to.
I said that most people, if you ask them what they want, they can't really tell you. When they do studies and things about, like, what you like about the spaghetti sauce, people don't tell you the truth. It turns out their behavior shows something entirely different than what they say. And Roger's saying depends on how you ask them, which I think is actually a good observation. If
If I ask you, do you want to die, what would you say?
No!
See, you answered the question.
But when you ask me what I truly want most of all in life...
So I said it's the way you ask the question.
Yeah, you're not going to say everlasting life.
Not usually, no.
No, but if he asks you, do you want to
say
die?
A big house. Yeah, right? Interesting point.
You today are hopelessly living or struggling against a life of science and religion, and even technology in an environment of beliefs of God and spirituality, which has nothing to do with you. If that's okay with you, continue as you're living today. But you will certainly experience yourself getting weaker, sicker, and dying with your body, just as Siddhartha saw 2,500 years ago. It seems little has changed since Buddha's time. Of course, instead of a life of science about a universe that doesn't concern you, you can consider living a science about you in the universe. And instead of a religion about eternal self and spirituality, you can live a religion of emergent life about you in the universe.
Talk about changing things around, Karen. Interesting.
Emergent life exists for you in an environment of self, not God. For regardless of what others have said for centuries, you and your life today are only about you, about the self that is you, and that is a spectacular view and awareness when you get religions, God, and death out of the way. Have you ever felt as though you are being guided and directed in life? That your life and events don't just happen? That someone is running your life, orchestrating matters and events to suit you? If you understand that your life today is a muse to your eternal self, which is a dream of past and future to you, that certainly offers you a sense of being directed and companioned. But in this, you are being guided and accompanied by the awareness of an intimately communion, personal, eternal self, and that is you, not God. And this does not involve guides or angels either. Why do I feel like we read this part already?
I think some of the same words have occurred earlier. I noticed that at the earlier part. I said, wait a minute, I thought that was later. I think some of the same concept is covered here.
Okay.
Not the same, not exactly the same, but sort of the same. It was from yesterday.
Okay. No, because look at 73, Copernicus and Galileo.
What's the online ones? Is that the printed, the copy, the latest?
I think we read it before.
Oh, maybe it's introduced twice. Uh-huh. Must be important.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You'll find some things come back around.
Okay.
In the past, you were self-guided at all times, until you surrendered yourself to God and guides and to higher powers and languaged your communion self away. It is declared that up to medieval times, people believed that Earth is the center of God's tremendous creation, and that the evils and uncertainties of life and the pains and problems and disappointments they struggle with are to test their acceptance of God and their faithfulness to His rule. Physical life is a place where they either gain or lose salvation. The promise of deliverance from grief and suffering, forgiveness of sins, and resurrection from death to eternal life with God. Now, it is said, you become enlightened when Copernicus and Galileo opened your eyes to the awareness that the Earth is not the center of creation, and the sun is the center of this solar system. Isn't that grand? Wait, hold on.
Yeah, that is. We've totally read this, right? Yeah, well, that section is
all over it.
First words. But like Misty said, some things come around again. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're reading the most current passage.
Wait, hold on.
This is just a recurrence in your continuing pages of life.
You have not become enlightened by any of this, have you? For you still believe the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west as it goes round the earth. And in one form or another, you still believe that God and spirituality and right actions offer you a path to salvation, to forgiveness of sins, and to eternal life. So little or nothing has changed or will change in yourself and life with these beliefs of God and spirituality. And today's technology will not help you one bit, because you want to be happy and you want to continue, and technology cannot help with these matters. Emergent life is about your being the savior of your own life, but this is not about belief or faith. Your life and relationship to the universe depends only upon your actions. For the universe to react, to accommodate you, to respond as you command by actions, not as you believe, think, attitude, or emotion about or say, and certainly not as you desire. The universe only responds to your actions or what you enliven. If God did exist as all things, it would be impossible for you to become aware of a oneness with this God. In the same way, there is no such thing as mind-body oneness or uniting in oneness, simply because your body is mind. However, you can bring your thoughts as beliefs and desires together with your actions, not the actions you hold in mind, but the actions you portray with your body, so the universe can respond to you. Emergent life is not about spirituality, bringing God into your life, or being one with God. It is about living the wholeness of yourself as your way of life. Does that interest you at all? If not, then know that you alone bless yourself with a wareful and meaningful everlasting life, or not. Now are you interested? Though you may think you have pushed religion's God away from your daily activities and awareness, and out of any direct concern in your life, since your language and thoughts and beliefs about the world around you are all based on religion's God, you are still involved in living, knowingly or unknowingly, a God-constructed life and world as was lived in medieval times. In 500 years, everything in life is different, yet everything about life is just the same. Nothing has really changed. Religion's God and beliefs are not as obvious today as in medieval times, and you may not actually concern yourself directly or indirectly with these matters, or worry about them, and you may even feel you are not encumbered by these matters. But religion's God constructs surround you and impose upon you, especially in everything you believe or think or speak of, for the very structure of language is founded on and structured by religion's God. It is frequently declared that with God actually in your world, you can feel or establish some meaning for yourself in life. But without God, there is no meaning. Then you are asked, what is your life really all about without God? And what happens after death? Since there are no satisfying answers to these questions, will you just wait unknowingly until death comes to make sense of yourself and life? When is it too late? If you move your concept of life from religion's God to speak of an intelligent universe, you haven't changed anything. Simply because an intelligent universe can act for you or withhold from you. An intelligent universe does not reveal the meaning and purpose of your existence or life, nor does it reveal or promise any life after death. If you want to live in an intelligent universe, remember that universe will remain silent and never take you into its confidence. Maybe you should consider a random universe, one that always reacts to accommodate you.
What number are you reading?
82.
We had a meeting.
As you command and cannot act intentionally for you or against you. A universe that openly reveals itself to you and offers you complete access to every aspect of itself. A universe that presents treasures and promises, not mysteries and secrecy. A universe you have and live in today. The universe is not intelligent. It depends on you for intelligence. You are the intelligence of the universe. And you establish the meaning and purpose of yourself and life, of the universe, and of the future. And the universe reacts to your actions in making yourself and life real and meaningful as you have chosen and acted upon. Since the universe always and only reacts reliably to accommodate you, maybe this accounts for your feeling at times that you are being guided and personally directed in life. Because you are being guided by yourself. And the universe never acts intentionally for you or against you. Nor does it perceive your beliefs and desires and provide them. The universe only accommodates your actions. Whether you act for or against yourself or others, or even for or against the universe. Isn't that unconditionally loving and compassionate? Are you willing to consider these matters deeply and expansively enough to realize that if religion's God did create this universe and is all things of the universe, then religion's unconditionally loving and compassionate God only reacts to accommodate you as well? Why do you suppose religion's created a God that competes against them? Just considering this question and carefully reveals you truly are the intelligence of the universe.
How does religion's God compete against them?
You can get that to me later.
Huh? What?
I said she can get back to me on that question later. You. Well, we can't have Andrew Cook thinking about everything. Somebody's got to be assigned.
Oh, she asked.
I asked.
I don't care. I didn't answer what you asked.
Oh.
What question are we talking about?
He was recruiting somebody to think about it to get back to us.
Oh, I see.
Didn't want Andrew having to carry the whole load.
Got it. Okay, and then she asked the question.
Well,
how does that happen?
I haven't heard the question.
Okay. How does... Where is it?
Why do you suppose your religions create a God?
How does religion create... How does a God compete against a religion? Is that what that sentence is saying? Why do you suppose religions created a God that competes against
them?
You
asked how does the God compete against
them? Yes.
You got the power.
Have you read the Old Testament?
Yes.
That competes against religion. Everything religion says, the Old Testament, God competes against that.
Which religion? The New Testament?
So the Christian.
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament. So the Christian God.
So God in
the Jewish God is the Old Testament.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
And so the mean, nasty guy competes against the New Testament that's all Jesus loved everybody?
Loving guy. Lovey-dovey guy. The angry God in the Old Testament.
Why do you suppose religions created a God that competes against them? So do all religions have that in them? There's a...
It does because they created a God that you can't be.
Do all religions have a God that you can't be?
Yeah.
Gods that you can't be. Is that what you said?
You never can live up to them.
Okay.
Upon you.
You're right. Never you good enough.
So they set you an impossible goal by telling you you need to be all these ways. But you never will
and
be.
Yet you keep struggling to
right.
be that.
Right, okay.
Smack, smack, smack.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't it possible that in creating a god for guidance and save them from their fears and doubts, they forgot the old adage, never fear or worry about what you are struggling to avoid or get away from. Save all of your concerns for what you are seeking. If you are seeking happiness or oneness with God, know that this is a self-induced emotion or state that seldom remains.
You know how many people would disagree with that?
With what?
That statement. I mean, I marked that because I had always assumed prior to Forever Living that you hit this state and you're just there. That's what I wanted anyway. Mm-hmm. I guess I dragged that into Forever Living too. I was looking for that. You hit the eternal understanding and just stay there. But I've been treating it like this self-induced emotion that seldom remains. Just thought that was a really good observation. Anybody else got that one?
Well, even in the religious model, you can never live, you struggle and you never live up to it. And then there comes Judgment Day, which then it's decided whether you struggled hard enough, I guess, or if you chose the right things to struggle with, or, you know, there's a judge.
Right.
That's going to allow you passage into the promised land.
Right.
So but, I don't think that, I've never imagined religion as allowing me to live an acceptable life while I'm still alive.
I think this is saying something a little different. If you are seeking happiness or oneness with God, and I've met a number of people who come to discussion groups looking for that because they feel like that's their bliss, know that this is a self-induced emotion that he's stating as a fact that seldom remains.
I guess that's true. There's people who find God all the time and they're really happy because they found God and they're in alignment with God and that. And then you see them 2 years later.
We know somebody who goes on 10 days, you know, sittings and stuff and has blissful experiences for 10 days and then comes out of it.
Yeah.
Most of the people I know who are practicing Buddhists and meditate a lot, they're really cranky people. Because I think they want that blissful all the time, and in the daily life they don't feel they have that.
Right.
So they become very hard to, their ego is way out there in front, it's very sensitive. I just thought that was a really keen observation most people don't get. All right, that's it. Please go. I thought about that one, and I already got back to you.
Now hurry on.
Next one.
Hurry on.
But you said people would argue that it's a self-induced emotion?
Nobody's heard that. He's making this as a statement. I haven't heard
anything else. You first said a lot of people would argue with that statement.
A lot of people think, like I had this
that
people.
That it's not self-induced?
The last discussion group I had went to hell because this one lady got really pissed that she's looking for oneness with God. She wants that state of perfection. And she
Why
wasn't
would she
else.
Argue that that's self-induced?
Because she thinks it's perfect spiritual. She can get there and be there forever. That's what she's looking for.
That was the point of what we never got through in terms of cosmic consciousness.
Well, are you getting back
it's
to us
a,
now?
It's an instant thing, and then it's gone.
Oh, cosmic consciousness is an instant thing, and it's gone?
Yeah.
It's like a sense you have if you pay attention for a while and then focus on something else, and it's gone?
Yeah.
Open left eye, open right eye?
That event is gone.
Okay.
For most people. And he only documented, what did he say, 20 or 30 people in all of history that have sustained it. For everybody else, they also call it like a peak experience.
Okay.
You have this peak,
this glimpse
or this flash, and then you're always living to have
try
more
and,
of that.
You're struggling to get back to it. Somehow.
You're a drug addict, man. You had a taste, and you're after it over and over and over.
Is that not also emergent life?
No.
He says no.
Emergent life doesn't have an instant like that. It's something you sneak up on and it stays with you.
It's a slow process of mastery.
But you're not aware of it.
What does that mean?
Well, you don't want to cause it when you're...
You can be aware of it.
When you're not being
aware. Every step along the way. Mm-hmm.
But it... To me, it's like when you get on that emergent life, you're not focused. I mean, you're not looking at it as, oh, that's emergent life, that's emergent life. You're just in the flow of creating.
But then in the flow of creating it, it stays with you.
Sure, I agree.
Well, that's not like.
What you get to is that your normal, right, every day, yeah.
So it's not special anymore.
Right.
Yeah, Roger's often said it's not, it becomes normal and ordinary.
Yeah.
It's normal and ordinary. But also, haven't we talked about when you're in the flow, you're not stopping to, well, what does that feel like?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking
about? I agree with everything that you all just said.
Yeah.
To me, that sounds the same as, you know, the enlightenment they wanted, or the bliss, or the whatever, and then now it's ordinary.
They just don't realize that.
So they want that emotional
juice. Yeah, exactly.
They want the high in the body.
Yeah.
Well, and
they want a body high. They're not really looking for enlightenment. Mm-hmm. They want that high in their body, and they want to, just like a drug addict, sustain that high somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can you imagine having this conversation over the black box? This is fabulous.
I know, that's why we're all here.
But, and then also the thing I don't think most people realize, it is self-induced. They think, oh, I hit oneness with God, or I was given
done
in life.
To me by
they
God.
They think it's something that occurs or was done. They don't realize they did it.
I see now what you're saying.
So when forever living, like in forever living, generally to me, one of the things you're talking about, this is for people who want to live it themselves, do it themselves. Yeah.
87.
And most people don't want to limit themselves, or they think all these things they experienced, they don't know it was self-induced.
Mm-hmm. Well, they think
you made me feel this way, good or bad.
They think that some enlightenment God comes down and dons them with, ta-da,
you are now enlightened.
Ta-da!
When I first came to the Big Island, that's like in 93, that's what I thought was going to happen. I thought I was going to hit this enlightened state and be there forever. scooping horse poop out in the middle of the field in the rain one day, I realized it's been months and it's not happened yet. It's not going to happen at all, is it?
You were scooping horse poop?
Yes.
How come?
Good for you.
My aunt and uncle, my uncle had a horse and a baby too.
Over here, a horse and a baby.
I mean, a horse that had a baby, or a horse and a call.
Let's
get back onto the important stuff. 87. That's
okay.
Self-induced for everyone.
When feeling happy in a state of oneness, speaking about this frequently weakens and destroys your happiness. Actually, just thinking about your happiness while in the midst of being happy, and the feeling will dissipate and have to be induced again and again. All feelings, even of anger, grief, sadness, and sorrow, must constantly be re-induced in order to remain.
Yay.
Does that include your sense of eternalness? I would think so, too. He actually shook his head yes, you could get her out.
He did.
And then different ones are, he should know.
They make differently the way they go, then we'd know what you were doing.
Tinkerbell.
He has to interpret for the recording.
What's that?
You'll have to interpret my head shakes
exactly.
For the recording.
All right. I'll do that.
Agreeing. Both better than agreeing.
88. Not discontenting yourself is of the mind and is carried in mind as long as you desire and can be frequently considered and spoken of without being weakened or lost. In fact, thinking or speaking of not being discontent can actually expand and extend this state of mind and reinforce it. Like happiness, your feelings about God or even about yourself are self-induced, and are quickly lost if not constantly renewed and reinforced, while your state of mind of not discontenting yourself about yourself and the emergent life can be continued and carried with you at all times. A state of mind of far greater, more enduring, more expansive than feelings, and can long endure. This not discontenting yourself state of mind holds your personal self, eternal self, together in communion, not feelings.
So if you're looking for a peak experience, you can't have awareness of your personal eternal self. That's a question, Roger. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. That's a yes.
An affirmative.
That's a head nod yes.
Feelings please and displease your body and keep you advised and informed of this. Not discontenting yourself as a state of mind is about you and keeps you advised and informed of your being alive. As said and promised, your body can be angry and hurt while your mind is not discontent. In fact, your state of mind is seldom about your state of body. Are you willing to keep these two separate? Your state of mind is far more important than your feelings and should never be confused or mistaken for feelings. How come far more important has the hyphens? Does it mean something different?
It ties it all together. It's one word.
Okay. God is a feeling. Emergent life is a state of mind.
Who would believe God is a feeling?
There's science for that.
I don't disagree. I just think it's really interesting that how many people have ever acknowledged that God is a feeling.
I mean, you can tell them there's science for that. You put on football helmets and stimulate a certain part of the brain, you can see God.
Oh, really?
You're being serious about that, right?
No, I'm dead serious. Okay, you can look it up. Unless what I read was
incorrect. That's why football players are so religious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we could actually pop a tent, you know, in a carnival, and we could, you know, shillings to experience God.
I've had those conversations.
$9.95.
Business idea.
To actually experience God.
Yeah. Stimulate the God Center. Yeah. And or a host of all other
or drugs.
Highs that are created by
stimulation.
Was it you
that you go in and off the menu and pick? Stimulation.
And then go into a room and go,
yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Emergent life is a state of mind. So, okay.
What if we translate God there to eternal self?
Eternal self is a feeling.
A feeling.
Emergent life is a state of mind. What if that's true?
Yeah.
So, here's this thought that I had. Roger can hit me with it. I actually got back to him about it weeks and months ago. As I've read this book, I've more decided he's not talking about something called forever living anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For most of my years, I was focusing on, okay, how you live being forever. It's changed to emergent life. My focus in living this, if I understand this, my focus is right now, at this moment, the constituents that I would be in there for, that's what I'm focusing on if I'm doing this. So that's not a feeling. That's a state of mind. That's a way of working my life.
Yeah, but how is it different than forever living?
Because in forever living, my understanding of forever living, I was always focusing on learning how to be eternal or forever. Emergent life is, that's part of it, but that's not what the focus of how you live is. The focus of how you live is emergent. That's the biggest concept.
Forever.
Huh?
And that's forever, isn't it?
Same thing. Well, I don't want to. Distracting, but y'all got that. That's good.
That was in a horse poop. Which end of the horse are you focusing on? Yeah.
Well, that's not it.
Don't feed it so much. Don't get so much
poop. Okay. I think it's the same. So it is.
To me, it's different in my way of understanding this.
Okay.
That my focus of every moment is what I'm willing to be and do forever and ever. Make a choice, and am I willing to do that forever and ever?
Okay.
So being what kind of self I am is part of that, but my focus is still living life.
Mm-hmm. That's true with mine too.
Okay.
In speaking of unconditional love, bliss, compassion, grace, this is a state of not discontenting yourself. It is not a feeling or an action toward another. You are the God of your emergent life. You are the eternal self of your emergent life. In a state of not discontenting yourself, you are divine. If you want to know and experience eternal self directly, or know and experience ecstasy, know and live yourself without discontenting yourself. If you want to know and experience continuing, don't discontent yourself. If you want to sense and describe your eternal self, describe your life, not discontenting yourself. But remember, not discontenting yourself is a state of mind, not a feeling or emotion. Therefore, feelings of peace, joy, and happiness, or even of satisfaction and contentment, have nothing to do with not discontenting yourself. So we can still have those emotions and still not discontent ourselves. Yes.
You can even be angry.
And not discontent yourself. If you are willing to be and live a life of self, we must warn you, this is not about being part of the me generation. It is about expanding and extending your awareness beyond science and religion. That is not about you. To include the communion of a personal me, eternal me, resplendent me, all emergent.
Huh?
Why isn't Angelo awake? The first reference to resplendent.
12, 1 something in the morning, or 2 something. She went to sleep.
Our discovering how the universe works, and even how it works for you, has expanded to reconsider everything ever thought to be true about you in life. Are you willing to change the image of yourself in life you are living and struggling against? All we want to do is change everything you have been told about yourself in life.
Oh, you didn't read that right. All we want to do, is change everything you've,
you've ever been told about yourself in life. Which is the basis of your body and life today, and your illness and death. Death comes to your body, not you. But you will never be aware of this, or experience non-death until you awake and live your eternal self today. You cannot wait until death of your body and hope for the best. Well, of course you can wait and hope, as thousands of generations have done before you. But if you do, you will not succeed in experiencing yourself continuing.
I got a question here.
Andrew's got a question.
Roger. So until you awake and live your eternal self today, does that awake your eternal self occur as you've regenerated your body?
Or is didn't that... say that.
No, it didn't. I'm asking.
Well, why are you changing it?
I was just asking. So until you awake and live your eternal self today, the awaking part occurs just...
to you.
Yeah. But just as I live and acknowledge it. Just as I live it. That's the awakening.
Until you awake and live it.
Ah, okay, okay, okay. Oh, yeah, that's what it says. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's what
it says. So you awake. Yeah, 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 okay. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you read it as awake your eternal self.
Yeah, I had a dimpus emphasis on the syllables.
Yeah. That's the trouble with you guys. You don't read what the words are down there. You're like Kathy in Canada. Keep adding words that aren't there.
Well, she did make for an interesting read, though, didn't she?
Yeah. What page are you on now? Yeah.
This may sound weird, but you cannot know yourself as an eternal being while continuing. only while you are a mortal personal being. Isn't that strange? Well, it's not so strange. After all, in the same way that you cannot experience yourself moving in space without a reference, you can only experience yourself continuing as an eternal being only while having your personal self and life as a reference. So don't wait.
You get that? I'll take it at face value. I just asked Roger, though, like, why do I know myself as a mortal ignoramus, but I can't know myself as an eternal being while continuing? I think it's something I haven't experienced.
Too self-referential.
Too self-referential? But being mortal is not self-referential.
Is it?
No. Seems to be. It
means it's different than what you are using for an awareness.
Well, I guess I'm using my body as an awareness of being mortal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also as a reference point.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
Immortal for knowing immortal is too self-referential. But mortal for knowing immortal. Not self-referential.
Because it's not yourself.
Mm. Okay.
The question about all of this seems to be, and how did life based on such false beliefs and ideas about yourself and the world around you ever get off to this mistaken beginning? If you are one of the many who claim they are not the least bit concerned about the creation of the universe, you're only interested in yourself today, then realize that all of your language, laws, judgments of others, and your own beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, your desires and experiences are all founded on a beginning God-created world. And you today are destroying your physical and emotional well-being against these issues and denying yourself.
Let's see. Stop the show. What does that mean? Oh, you dropped the pages.
I should. I'm totally lost.
Bottom of page 33.
Page 18.
18.
Eternal Religion 18, Emergent Life 33, same page.
101.
So that's the last one. Okay, so I just read that, so I need to put that page away and go on to 19. Somewhere.
Yeah. 102. All creation myths involving a creator seek to tell you how to live. And ever should you do that, you will discover that yourself and life are the myth you follow. Don't you want more than that for yourself and life? A few years ago, a neighbor who had cared for and loved a bird for many years decided to set the bird free with tears of sadness and joy. As the cage was lifted off the base, the bird looked around warily and then slowly hunkered down, shaking nervously, and refused to fly. Your life today is just like this story. The only question is, are you like the neighbor or the bird?
Such a good question. You want to think about that?
Yeah, do we want to run through that scenario?
I did. I marked it, but I don't know what to ask. It's just...
Why don't you answer the question?
Huh?
Are you like the neighbor or the bird?
Are you not... Well...
Am I like the neighbor letting the bird away with tears in my eyes?
Or
am I like the bird hunkered down, not going to move?
Right.
Yeah.
Are you imprisoning yourself, or are you trying to set things free?
So
that's fighting against yourself.
Against myself, yeah.
A long time ago, you indentured yourself in life to an unknown and unknowable master. No, you confined yourself. No, even that is not correct. You enslaved yourself to God and spirituality, and you've been held in subjugation ever since. For some, this was a gradual process, while for others, it was a personal dedication to the service of God and spirituality. However, your enslavement occurred. You have been bound ever since. Regardless of what others may say, let your mind soar and think whatever it wants to think. If your mind judges and worries or fears, let it. Do not try to change your thinking or stop thinking, for doing so only traps your mind in further involvement, and reacting to your thinking or judging then involves your body's response, which you act upon, such that the world around you reacts, and thus it grows, which you then react to.
So that was an interesting recommendation. I don't think I'd ever heard, just let your mind do whatever, you know, for, do whatever it wants to do, whatever it wants to think.
I thought that was sort of like what Leapfrog was all about.
What does that mean?
Leapfrog.
What does that mean? The game?
Yeah, no. When you said Leapfrog, let yourself just leap out.
One thought after another leads to another, leads to leap. Another.
Mm-hmm. From where, whatever position you're at.
Yeah.
That was years ago.
Talking about jumping and flapping, or what are you talking about?
No.
I don't remember.
You touched on it yesterday, too. That one thought leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you're letting your mind run in crabby judgments and you just let it run, but you don't stop to, you know, fall off and get back on your eternal horse, then you're just letting it run on in
circles,
in its habits. I didn't ever hear that as a recommended thing before. So why just let it run on and dig myself a deeper hole?
You're assuming that you were digging a hole.
Yeah,
I
was gonna say.
I don't assume
that.
You
with your body's response, doesn't it?
If you get to doing something and you let it go enough, pretty soon you're going to go, gosh, this is really futile. What am I doing? And so what you're actually doing is digging yourself out of a hole, not into a hole.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
I'm assuming you're not discontenting yourself.
When you're fussing and bitching at traffic and stuff,
you're not
judging it.
You're not going through all that kind of
stuff.
Maybe
not then.
You're just letting it roll.
Riders always had that caveat.
Yeah.
Apply to
cashiers
and traffic.
But it says here, and reacting to your thinking or judging then involves your body's response, which you act upon. So when it says let your mind soar, it doesn't say and judge and react. React to your thinking and judge and let your body do its response.
Oh.
It just says let your mind soar.
Okay.
I mean.
So when I first heard Roger say let your mind leapfrog, what I thought of is, how can I let myself out of my own little box of thinking? And then that became a process of thinking about letting myself out of my box. And then my mind soared.
If your mind judges and worries or fears?
No, I wasn't even going there. I was just, how do I just change
so
my thinking?
I think that's what Andrew's question is here.
Oh.
If I let my mind soar and it goes to judgment and fear and worries, do I just keep going there?
I mean, admittedly, a lot of my, you know, efforts since being introduced to all this has been to change the thoughts I was thinking.
Pattern. But is it to change the thoughts you were thinking or to change your reaction and judgment of the thoughts you
were
thinking?
That too.
Mm-hmm. But it's like overcoming and just keep going.
I don't disagree. That's why I noted that. I just had never heard this. Oh,
yeah,
just let it go. If you're judging, judge.
Right.
Nobody else finds that odd. Money, long-term relationship.
No, it's, yeah, it does, I mean, yeah, it's,
you knew that before. If you knew that before, I just, you're way ahead of me.
Well, yeah, to some extent, yes, because Roger always says, anger isn't the problem. You can go ahead and be living as you truly desire and do anger, or do worry, or do fear. It's what you do after that, right? Am I right? You in there?
Be great if he would talk a little on this. Yeah. Talk
or is he just
this,
snickering
Roger?
Going, watch them dig in this hole.
Roger, what do you have to say about this passage?
If that's what you truly desire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so let your mind soar.
Okay,
you can
okay.
judge
I
and worry.
I've
heard
him
say,
you
know, if you're going to judge, then get out there and judge.
Judge. And so then the other question of would you do this forever and ever?
I got you. Thank you.
And then you wouldn't judge your judgments.
There you go.
You'd just be happy judging.
Gotcha. And that clarifies a lot. Thank you.
That's where Nora went to hell.
Yeah?
She judged her judgments.
Yeah.
Judge that judging wasn't right.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think that even if you ask, you know, is this what I want to be doing forever and ever, you got to kind of make sure you're not judging in that moment. Like, ew, no, bad, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That seems sticky, huh?
Yeah.
Do not resist your thinking, and certainly not your imaginative minding. When we speak of your thinking, we are speaking of your processing memories systematically, as in languaging. When speaking of imaginative minding, we are speaking of processing memory images, as in vivifying. Mind-body oneness is not about unifying your mind and body, or thinking and body. It is about vivifying your body and personal self to eternal memory images of yourself in life, and impressing these eternal images into your body, so you will carry and memory those images and respond to them instead of continuously inducing feelings and emotions to live and respond to. This is living a communioned personal being, eternal being. Continue these vivifying memory images, and you will know and experience continuing.
What is vivifying?
Good question.
No, vivifying.
We have that enough.
So give life to?
Give life to, intensify.
You know what vivid means?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Vivisection.
You start changing that loner body.
So that isn't imaginative minding, correct? That's just imaginative minding, should have read?
Huh?
Lose the eye. On
what
the
number
are
you going to read?
We're in 107, we're talking about. So here in the dictionary, vivid means lively or lifelike, having the appearance of life forming brilliant images. Vivid imagination, striking and intense.
That's what, vivifying?
Vivid.
Vivid, okay.
Did they just use the word in the definition?
Yeah, I thought so. That's Webster's.
So can I just clarify that, that imaginative minding is, should be imaginative minding?
Should be imaginative. Okay. Oh. If there's an I there, then I missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It auto-corrected you.
Sometimes it does that. Did you get, will you get that for me, Mark?
Where's that? Where's the typo?
The third
line. Line of 107.
Just wanted to make sure we weren't making any.
Yeah, I thought we were.
Yeah.
No, every once in a while.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know,
auto-corrects.
Auto-corrects, or
yeah. My fingers auto-correct.
Yeah.
Also see memory. So it reads differently than if
yeah,
I
it does.
Put that in. Doesn't vivify mind body. Okay.
So 108. Yavala yoga and Asava massage impress your vivified memory, images, and realizations into your body and life to carry and continue, as does enlivening your eternal emprise, quickening your privileged declaration, and activity communioning your personal self-eternal self. Emergent life fully supports you in these and other ways of vivifying your eternal memory images. What are you impressing into your body to remember and induce as emotions and feelings? Do you know or even care? An eternal mind or imaginative minding is not a different mind or spiritual mind, nor is it a different way of thinking. It is imagining and vivifying eternal memory images and realizations to see and understand, so you can live your personal self and life today from this eternal perspective and bring yourself and life fully alive today.
Hang on just a second, I want to read that. Okay. Thank you.
Everything you are today is a vivified muse or contemplation of who you are. As a personal being, you struggle endlessly to discover your true nature and purpose. And if you ask others about the essence and ultimate nature of their God or life or of yourself, or if you ask how you are to know the God you are to worship and obey or become one with, no one can even begin to answer these questions. Eternal beings decide who they are and how they will be alive eternally, and they live that. This is emergent life. It is life beyond enlightenment and certainly beyond spirit and oneness, and even beyond God.
Yeah, I got a question for Roger. Ready? Now, going back to number 110. An eternal mind or imaginative minding is not a different mind or spiritual mind, nor is it a different way of thinking. It is imagining and vivifying eternal memory images and realizations to see and understand, so you can live the personal self and life, your personal self and life today from this eternal perspective and bring yourself and life fully alive today. So I often wondered then, if that's what we're talking about, it's not a different mind or spiritual mind. I'm wondering in this if you're also saying it's not a different self, but frequently in your talkings over the last couple of years, you've talked about a different self. Not the same self doing eternal things, you talk about a different self. Now, I was just curious, if this is what you're talking about, then why not just focus on it that way?
Because you can eat everything.
Okay. An eternal mind or imaginative minding is not a different mind or spiritual mind. So what if I was to substitute here and say an eternal self or imaginative self is not a different self or spiritual self? Nor is it a different way of thinking. It is imagining and vivifying eternal memory images and realizations to see and understand. So you can live your personal self and life today from this eternal perspective. In that, I did change things by substituting.
Yes, you did.
But have I changed it erroneously?
Yes, you have.
Okay.
Because you took minding, which is a verb, out of it. And you used only nouns.
Oh.
To arrive at conclusions. Well, I was talking about the action and the activity.
An eternal mind is a verb, not a thing?
Binding.
An eternal mind or imaginative minding.
Well, there you took that minding out.
It's not a different mind thing or spiritual mind thing.
So then you took out the whole clause that is imagining and vivifying eternal memory images and realizations, because you wanted all nouns, all conclusions.
Well, I don't think I left that out, but okay.
Yes, you did.
Did I skip that?
You leave it out because you changed from minding to self.
Mm-hmm.
Self is a noun. You didn't say selfing.
Okay.
You substituted self where you wanted to substitute it. And you left that action out, that whole action clause.
I didn't think I did that.
Well, I'm telling you, you did do that by changing it to self. You didn't include that. I know you didn't think you did, but you did. Because you talked only in terms of conclusions, not in terms of actions. I'm talking in
terms of... So anytime I talk about a thing, that's a conclusion?
Well, when you talk about self as a noun, you substituted the noun.
So when you say eternal self, you mean that's an action?
No, we're talking about this damn sentence right here.
Yeah?
Well, don't go off of this sentence. Go take it into a generality.
I'm going to try again.
No, I feel like everybody else has got this, so I'll just move on.
No.
Actually, I don't think anybody else has this, but let's move on anyway.
Nike says,
say it again then.
Try it again.
Okay, so an eternal mind, I'm just reading what he wrote here. An eternal mind or imaginative minding is not a different mind or spiritual mind.
You changed all that to self.
Then I was just reading what you wrote. So I'm asking, am I still being consistent with what you wrote if I said an eternal self or imaginative selfing? Oh, I see what I said. I said imaginative minding. Okay, an eternal self or imaginative selfing is not different than self or spiritual self.
You said imaginative self last time.
Yeah, imaginative self.
You didn't say selfing.
Okay, that's what I did. Yes, that's what I did. That's right. Okay. Okay.
I knew we would get clear.
Huh?
I knew we would get clear if you did it again.
Okay.
Okay,
don't get back on that.
Very good.
Back to us on that.
Okay, I won't.
You got it all figured out.
Don't think about it.
Okay.
The answer is no, you can't change that self.
Okay. Thank you.
I think I'm on 113. If you believe there is a divine force active in your life today, look to yourself, for you are a divine being in the life of your eternal self. It is safe to say that in the eyes of your eternal self, you are God. You are the one who was promised. Instead of seeking spiritual perceptions and experiences and the blessings and rewards of spirit or of God, are you willing to seek the perceptions and experiencing of promising and the blessings and rewards of living your promises? You are the promised one, the self-promised one. Are you willing to be and live as you promised? Is it possible that you already understand that the creative force of your life today comes from an emergent life concept and an actual or inferred promise of eternal abiding life, and that it is important to be faithful to your promises? Live according to your promises and become one with your promises. If so, promise is already your religion. Are you willing to promise yourself as an eternal abiding being?
Well, that's a pretty good stopping point for you to go take a nap now, Roger, don't you think?
What?
That's a pretty good stopping point for you to go.
Why?
Because it's the beginning of a new section.
It's a new section.
Yeah, but why do you need me to quit?
I want you to still be able to go this evening.
She wants you to take a break.
Yeah, come back more energetic.
Give your body a break. I'll make you some strawberries and cream, and then you can go take a nap.
I see how we had to get that.
Who is so noisy?